Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now on KKFT.
It is live and local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. John
Potter and Jay Biggs with Jennifer Rogers of Platinum Wealth, the money advisor. I don't have any jokes or funny stuff with you because money is serious, especially these days. It's life or death. It's happiness or sadness. It's nothing to joke about. And I wish they taught more basic economics and money management in high school. So many people don't know so much and make tragic mistakes. And you have always impressed me. You helped me personally with money, get my act together. So welcome. And I'm sorry you had such a rough time last night with a, 15-hour flight from Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was a little crazy. Thank you for having me, first off. So Vegas is an hour flight, right?
To Northern
Nevada, not a big deal normally. And so it turned out to be. So I was down there meeting clients, right? I was down there for a few days. And I was supposed to come back within an hour, as you would think, with a direct flight. But there was a lightning storm, got delayed a little bit, understandable. The pilot takes us out to the runway and then says, oh, I'm over on my time. Takes us back to the gate, and they're like, we'll try to find a new pilot now.
Just so, ridiculous.
Yeah, so then...
The guy had just one more hour to do, right?
Yeah, and he was on the runway. So turned back around, went back to the gate. We were sitting there, and they're like, we'll try to find a new pilot. Another 45 minutes. Nope, didn't find a new pilot.
Oh,
and now
gosh.
It's like 1:45 in the morning. And so everyone is just wanting to get home, right?
I hear
like,
this story.
You rented a car, Jennifer.
I thought about it. I really did. But then I thought, okay, it's going to take me, 7 hours if I drive fast, 6 hours, right, to get back home. And I was a little tired, so I'm like, probably not the safest move for me to do. And
right.
then I said, well, maybe I'll get on standby for the next flight. So they said, you have to be here by 4. It starts boarding at 4:30, 4:45. So I'm like, might as well just sleep here. So I've never slept in an airport before. Weirdest experience. So there were people everywhere in chairs. There were little families laying down. It was the weirdest scene ever. And I've never had that happen, but it turned out to be 15 hours. I kept getting bunted off of the standbys. Finally, I said, can somebody just fly me maybe out of Vegas and somewhere else? And then I can fly back to Reno, because that would be amazing and fantastic. And I would appreciate that.
They still haven't got their act together.
It's a wild time flying.
I hear these stories all the time. Yes,
well,
Jake.
I just wanted to say, if you don't know about Jennifer, she is actually an Emmy nominated journalist. And
We knew each other at Colo Channel 8.
That's right.
Yes, Small World.
Yeah, we worked together there too. I was on the air live there for four years in the morning doing traffic. And she actually changed gears in her television career when she realized that she needed to help women in their finances, not just people like John. It started at home for Jennifer after her grandfather passed away. She wanted to help her grandmother make sense of investing, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, a lot of the older generation, they're scared to do that kind of stuff. Even myself, you can maybe help me there. And now she regularly hosts educational workshops to empower women and everyone, much like John, to take charge of their investments. And Jennifer Rogers Markwell is the founder and president of Platinum Wealth Management as well. So you've got quite the impressive resume, young lady.
Thank you. To be honest, like John and I talked about this before, I would have never expected that I'd be in the industry that I'm in now. And I'm 14 years in finance, which is pretty wild, spending 18 years in television. So I started when I was like 2.
Considering
right?
we know how much media pays, you decided to go.
Well, and that wasn't a factor, interestingly enough. Like a lot of people go in for, you know, because they want to work in the stock market and blah, blah. But for me, like when my grandpa passed, they were mom and dad to me. Mm-hmm. So we found ourselves sitting in front of different advisors and different institutions and never really had that warm, fuzzy feeling that anyone cared or wanted to do the best interest for my grandma.
Right.
And she's like, if we're going through this, imagine how many other women are going through this too. And I said, I'll learn everything I can. And here I am.
Well, you were a star at Fidelity, and that's where you saved my financial situation. Why did you branch out? You really own the office there at Platinum Wealth on, where is it still, Kitsky?
Kitsky Lane, yeah.
Kitsky Lane. So why the breakout to go and put this office together?
Yeah, well, I felt, again, not to say anything disparaging, but big corporations, I feel like sometimes lose sight of the individual. Right. And my clients are very relationship driven. They want to be able to sit in front of me. They want to be able to call and leave me a voicemail and have me call them back. and not get stuck on the phone for 45 minutes and transfer it around and ending up with whoever they end up with and then not having that personal relationship. I knew that I could do better and offer a better just service level and a more concierge service level than I could do anywhere else.
Are you doing these big interviews too still? Weren't you on, you were on some national
We definitely get reached, and I'm grateful for that, so grateful, right, just for the media background that I've had. We do get, you know, radio stations, TV stations wanting to talk to us about the market, what's going on, and quite frankly, it's been so volatile that this is definitely a big topic, I think, in everybody's minds.
So for people who have a stash of money in the market, what is your opinion today of what should be done?
Yeah, so it depends on that individual. I'm big on, like, I think you need to have emergency money. Some people will say 3 months, some will say 6. Most of my clients, I like to have a year, depending on what your profession is and what your personal situation is, because everyone's a little different. And I think it really leads back to what your goals are. If we move emotionally in the market, I think that's when problems happen. If people panic and they're like, oh gosh, look how much the market's down or how much it moved or whatever the situation is, I think the really integral thing is going back to what your goals are. Are your goals to retire in 10 years? Are you pulling all of this out and buying a house in 3 months? Well, then those are two very separate conversations that I think need to be addressed and really going back to your goals and not just moving emotionally.
It just is so alarming. I think I saw a story that said if 40% of the public did not get that next paycheck, that they really don't have any savings.
I didn't see that study.
It's like it was outrageous. And nowadays, 40%, if they lost their job or the paycheck stopped coming, they wouldn't have much of a bank account to take from.
Well, and that goes back to what you said just a little bit earlier, the lack of education that's out there, right? Like, that's crazy to me. No one teaches that in high school. It's not taught in elementary school. It absolutely should be. So when I came in my stepdaughter's life, she was 4. And she's a little spitfire. She's fantastic. But so I said, okay, we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you about everything. So we started slowly buying Disney stock for her. And so when we would go to Disneyland, she would say, I own this place. I own it all. And we're like, no, you have like one stock. So for her, it was like learning the understanding of, you know, being an owner by having, you know, a share and or of whatever company it is ultimately. And then we put her in, you know, stock classes for kids. And so she was chief analyst in one of her classes. And then in one of her classes, she had the top 3 portfolios. And there was like 20 kids in this class. So truly fantastic to get the education out there for her. And now she's like, oh, I got to save money. I got to put money in a Roth. I got to do this. I got to save.
And how early can kids start on this kind of stuff?
She's 12 and I started teaching her at 4.
You know, this reminds me so much. When I was 12, my grandfather gave me a share of Eastman Kodak.
Awesome.
And what it did to my mind was I felt like a little executive.
So good.
I was checking stock tables.
Out there taking more photos than a Chinese tourist, weren't you?
Well, I dressed a little better.
No, but that's so fantastic. I feel like that education really starts at home. But the challenge is, what if the parents or the grandparents don't know that? Right. And so that's something that we lean really heavy on, too, is just that education. So we do a free virtual coffee chat every month. We've had all kinds of topics from Social Security reform, which is always changing behind the scenes, as we know, to, you know, trust planning, to the legalities behind that, to what are the feds doing or what are the feds not doing? Let's talk about that. I've had analysts from CNBC, Bloomberg Television, you know, come on. And these are open as, you know, for anyone that it's free, it's educational, and it's my part of, you know, sharing and getting that out there.
Well, you mentioned grandparents, and you know, times have changed. You know, like my parents were scared of credit, for instance. So I was taught, because I was raised by my grandparents, to buy everything with cash. And if you don't have the money for it, don't buy it. But that also, now that I'm an older adult, that made me start building my credit later on in life, because I paid cash for literally everything until I was like, oh, I don't know, it's a couple of years ago, honestly. So I'm here I am now trying to build my credit, you know, working towards maybe hooking up with Rick Canale and buying a house one day, you know.
So he talks about that.
Well, I talk about it. I talk a big game. I'm going to pull the trigger one day, maybe. But I am trying to, you know, build myself up now. You know, I had a divorce 3 years ago, so that put me in the hole. I'm trying to get things, you know, steady to where I can buy a house, because this Reno Sparks is my area. I'm going to be here eventually, I think. So I that's something I want to build towards. So what do you do as far as like financial planning? How would you help somebody that's like, let's say, like right from the beginning, that's coming in there and wants to get things right off the bat squared away?
So it depends, I think, on the person. If you and I are talking like right now, I would say, hey, what are you making? what are you spending? What's your true budget? Like, what are you, where are you eating out a bunch? Are you going out? Like, what does that look like?
Right.
How are you investing? Do you have a 401k at your work or a retirement plan? Do they offer you a match inside? Because that's free money. And I like that to be priority for clients. Super important. And then what else are you doing? Are you padding in any other ways? Do you have emergency money? Like, these are all factors that are so important. I think for anyone, no matter what your goal is making sure that you have that financial plan in place holistically.
Right.
So you can reach your financial goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, stick around for a segment because I want to ask you when we come back, for people who have money to invest, what can you do with it? People can't afford the real estate right now. They can't put it really in a savings account at a bank because the percentage, the interest that they pay still is way too low. What the stock market? I like to get your opinions on that. And I'd like to open up the phone lines for folks who have like a money situation.
Yeah.
And talk to Jennifer Rogers here at 775-884-9910.
All right, folks. Well, you heard it. We're going to be right back with Jennifer here. It's next on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk. KKFT.
It's live and local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3. 775-884-9910 is our phone number.
I forgot the name Markwell. It is Jennifer Rogers Markwell.
I go by it all. I got married later in life. I went by Jennifer Rogers forever. Found, you know, a fantastic human being as my partner, my husband, and mm-hmm. was honored to take his last name in my mix.
Well, I'm a bit of a disciple of Dave Ramsey. I think working toward being debt free has a powerful effect on your future.
So I'm not sure if you knew this, John, but I'm one of Dave Ramsey's basically SmartVestor pros for the area.
Are you really?
So he refers folks to me
for
the state of Nevada, Northern and Southern, and for Northern California. So to be basically in that kind of group, you have to have a very squeaky clean background. You have to be doing what's right for the client and leading mm-hmm. with the heart of a teacher. And so we're honored to be a part of that.
You know how much of a disciple I am of Dave Ramsey? I get up at 3 a.m. to hear his radio show on Sirius XM.
Do you know he's coming to Sacramento in November?
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you
small
know.
World. Anyway, okay, so he influences me. Besides Dave Ramsey, who influences you? What, or maybe what financial expert got you so interested in this? Or what financial expert do you follow in terms of their viewpoints and their rules?
You know, I think that's a really good question. And that's actually a really tough question to answer because I feel like there's a lot of folks that I'm not 100% like exactly lean into. Mm-hmm. I think Ramsey's fantastic. He wants you to get out of debt, take care of yourself, you know, make sure. Yourself debt free, and then basically pay yourself back, pad yourself for retirement, and then also help out in your local communities. And I think that's fantastic and so important.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
And the question I said I was going to ask after the commercials, where do you put your money right now?
So that's a tough question. I can't be product specific, right? Because we don't know who's listening right now. There could be somebody with $30 million. There could be somebody with $3, right? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, each person's going to be a little bit different when they invest. You brought up a good point to, you know, institutions of like, what's the CDs? They're not paying much. Money market's not paying much. That'll get better. As the feds are raising rates, that trickle-down effect will happen, not overnight, but in those realms of really conservative strategies like that. Other folks that are in the market, I think diversification could be very important, right? The eggs in one basket, not to date myself, but Enron, not a good thing. People put all their money in Enron and see what happened with them. It went to zero. That can happen if you are, you know, concentrated specifically heavy in one stock.
What's your view on Bitcoin?
So it's an alternative. I think that, again, going back to the individual, that's a tough question. Some individuals, it makes sense for others, it does not. So I think it really depends on that individual and what that looks like. If you have $300 to your name and you're putting everything in Bitcoin, no, not a good call, right? Depends on what that looks like.
If you can afford it, it's that kind of thing.
And it's an alternative, right? It's not a mainstream strategy. Will it be in someday? Maybe. Right now, it's kind of the wild, wild west.
See, and there's some of those people, Jennifer, you can't convince. I mean, I don't care if, I mean, maybe I would change my mind if I had $1 million in the bank, but I wouldn't put my money on anything like that. like Bitcoin or anything, just because I'm scared that it's not something physical. I can't grab a Bitcoin. I can't have it. I can't put it in a shoebox and put it under my bed. You can just, somebody electronically in Washington can just wipe it and it's gone. I don't like stuff like that. I'm, like I said, I was raised by my grandparents. You pay for everything if you have it.
That's right.
If you can't physically have it, you know, I don't even like buying things on Amazon because I want to physically touch it as I buy it.
Well, and that goes back to, we were talking briefly in the break about money memories.
Right.
Your original money memory really, I think, dictates how you look at money moving forward as an adult. So I have a client who, his family, you know, Midwestern family, worked really hard to get food on the table. He's brilliant. He's a bunch of PhDs. Millions of dollars, you know, in investments, very smart, but he's very thoughtful of how he does anything. So he'll call me and say, Jennifer, can I buy this couch? What does this look like? Because it always goes back to his original money memory that he had in place. So everybody's different based on what that is. Some families, you know, definitely there was no budget. There was nothing there in place. Spending is frivolous. There's no budget there.
Right.
Other families were like, hey, we worked really hard to get a meal on the table to feed our family.
Right.
And that's going to be that original money memory.
Whatever happened to the piggy bank? You know, growing up with
a piggy bank,
there was a coin shortage,
and the allowance and the allowances.
Yeah,
I think they're, I don't think they do it as much as they used to, but that was my first lesson.
Nice.
And I was so crazy back then. I was charging my brothers. My brothers wanted to buy ice cream and things like that. Oh, I will lend you some of my piggy bank money. And then I kept raising the interest rate. And my parents put a stop to it.
I'm surprised you didn't become a dentist, because usually our first money situation is when you lose a tooth and you get $5 for it.
I was a 10-year-old Scrooge.
Well,
just like Mr. Potter in that Jimmy Stewart movie.
Well,
that's awesome.
You could have become a dentist later on and got $500 for a pulled tooth too. Anyways, that being said, so Jennifer, tell us where can folks go and get information about your services and what you do exactly? I mean, where can they find you?
So I'm easily Googleable, right?
Googleable.
Googleable. So platinumwealth.net okay. is our website. And like I said, we do offer a lot of free education too. So if folks just aren't there yet that just want to learn more, we have the heart of a teacher. We want to lead with that, and we want to help and serve in any way we can.
Right.
We are on social media. We are on Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me. And we're also on Twitter as well. So however we can help, we are out there, social media everywhere. And then the website, if you want to go online and take a peek, we do offer those virtual coffee chats every single month. And they're always educational topics, and they're free to attend.
Oh, that's
wow.
awesome.
At your office?
They're virtual. So I have
oh,
clients throughout the U.S.
Okay.
So I've got clients on the East Coast. I've got clients everywhere. So that way everyone can attend. So we do it virtually.
That's right. You're nationwide, or Platinum Wealth is, isn't it?
Yeah, and Platinum Wealth's mine. So that's my company. My team. Right now we have 4 admins serving clients. So we, again, want to lead really with service and taking care of folks. We have an intern that's starting in September, and then we have 2 junior advisors that are starting this year as well. So we're growing, but we're growing to help serve.
Good Lord.
Tell us this has got to be an interesting story for folks. And because they may or may not remember you from being, you know, on television. Well, tell us about that transition. Like, what made you go, I'm done with TV?
It was my grandma. So I had just signed, ironically, so I wasn't doing local television anymore. I was doing more national things. I had just signed a contract for Holland America Cruise Lines and Food Network.
Oh, wow.
To be traveling around the world interviewing chefs, which is like, that's a fantastic gig, right? How fun would that be, eating your way around the world? Super excited about that. Had just signed, and grandparents were mom and dad. And my grandpa was sick. And I said, okay, I need to postpone this. Even though I signed, I need to postpone this. I need to go home. And he passed.
Oh.
And so that's, for me, I can actually say this without crying every time. I mean, they were my rock. My grandparents were my world. So we found ourselves going in front of different institutions, different banks. And my grandma's like, you know, this is weird, right? No one ever was doing what was in her best interest or cared or had that warm, fuzzy feeling ever. And so I said, I'll learn everything I can. And there was my transition.
Oh, right there. I mean, it was like God smacked you in the face. Like, hey, here's what you need to do.
I would have never, right, thought that I would be in this industry. And quite frankly, if my, you know, breadcrumbs didn't lead this way, I probably wouldn't be. But I'm super blessed to be helping people. And I feel like I'm making more of a difference doing what I'm doing now than ever.
Well,
I
still enjoy sharing local TV gossip with you.
There's always something going on.
Very good source of that.
That's a good thing, John.
Well, we all stay involved, right? Like, we all have like a little connection. Plus, it's Reno. There's like 1 degree of separation, and if even that in media.
We were talking about that, and 1 degree of separation. I keep running into people I don't want to run into.
Hopefully they're not listening.
It's only here. I don't have many people like that. There's only like five of them.
Do you get that, Jennifer? Do you have people still that come up to you and say, I remember you from Channel 8?
I do. I do. It's definitely lessened over the years, right? But I still have it.
Yeah. Now, I thought your future was running a coffee shop because you ran a coffee shop.
I did. So one of my dear friends who also worked in TV was Brian, right? So we owned a coffee shop for a while together. And that was fun. It was just us diversifying business and doing that. I was actually doing financial planning when I owned that too.
What was the shop?
So I was overlapping.
Which one?
Overlapping. Kona Gold.
Oh, okay. I remember Kona Gold. Okay. Because there's also April Clark has the Roost. She was a general manager in television as well.
Oh, nice.
Here in town for Sinclair.
Well, because you drink caffeine, right? Like
to
15 things. But while I had that, I was actually doing television. I was financial planning and I was owning the coffee shop. So I was doing 500.
What happened to Kona Gold?
We sold that. So actually, okay. Brian ended up going into finance as well. So he's in the same industry, and I am too. And that's where our passion is and our focus.
We're on our way to having financial freedom, John. We are drinking coffee. We are.
Hopefully, you're not spending $10 a cup for it, though.
No,
that's a whole different conversation.
The $5. $5 coffee. No, we're good with that. But I can tell you this much: if you want to get the best in any sort of, I guess you could say. Financial advisement? Is that how you call it?
And planning, quite frankly, right? Making sure that you're on track for what your goals are. We do a little of everything. We do money management. We do financial planning. But I think really it leads with financial planning because everybody's situation is different and everyone's goals are different across the board.
One more time, what's that website?
PlatinumWealth.net.
PlatinumWealth.net. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is.
Jennifer Rogers Maxwell, a Platinum Wealth.
Markwell, John. Markwell.
Markwell, what did I say?
John's Maxwell. We're gonna pin down.
Did I say Maxwell?
We're gonna pin down this name somehow.
It's a big name. I know. It's
Markwell,
quite robust.
Markwell Maxwell House.
Maxwell House. Coffee.
It came coffee. Yeah. Full circle.
Markwell Coffee.
Yeah, we're having lots of fun this morning, and the fun is gonna get even more so next because I can guarantee you we're gonna have a hoot with Miss Jessica Schneider. She's going to be in here, and she's from Junkie Clothing.
Yes.
Yes, you all know that place downtown. All right, folks, stick around next. It's Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Our number here, 775-884-9910.
Junkie Clothing Exchange is much more than a clothing exchange. The vintage clothes, the antiques are fascinating. It's like going to an unclaimed luggage place from 50 years ago. I mean, neon, more than clothing, you got neon signs, you got beer logo clothing for beers that don't exist anymore, Zippo lighters, Jessica Schneider, it was her vision, not only to put the store together, but also to develop Midtown Reno, and she's here with us today. Hey, Jessica.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been so long.
I'd say she's the most influential person in the Midtown area, but that's just me.
Well, Junkie came from the recession. I was doing interior design. Okay. And then 2008, I always knew it was going to drop because I was redoing kitchens that weren't even old and they were taking out money in their house. And I always thought, you're going to have to pay this back, you know?
Right.
So then 2008, I knew my phone quit ringing in January. There was talk about the stock market and I've always been a survivor. So I opened Junkie 2008, May 1st, in a recession because I needed to come up with a recession-proof business.
You know what we thought then?
What?
She's never going to make it.
Oh, everyone did. Oh, yeah, my grandma, right. John. My grandma begged me. She sat on the end of my bed and said, please don't call it Junkie. Please. But I knew it was a little risque when you first hear it, but it's two syllables, you know, Target, Walmart. Like you, it's
Junkie. I get it.
You don't forget it. And now it's a household name. And I put on my vision board that year, I put Junkie will be a household name in this town.
Now, I got to ask you this. So that building where Junkie is, there's a couple other businesses in there. Do you own those as well?
I did do an ice cream shop, and to
I
be
love
honest,
that ice cream
I
shop.
Know because I, the neighborhood needed ice cream and families to come down.
Yes.
It couldn't just be all bars. So I pitched this idea to every restaurant owner I know. No one wanted to do ice cream, so I'm like, ugh, half the things I do is because other people didn't want to do them. So I did ice cream, but you know, to be honest, I couldn't manage teenagers. I could not leave teenagers.
That is so funny.
They're not the same, are they?
I remember going in there, and it was like 16-year-old girls listening to rap music. And But you guys also had those Doughboy donut sandwiches.
Jay's the best. Oh. I know, a warm donut with a scoop of ice cream.
We got Doughboy's donuts in here right now. I'm thinking about it.
Well, your store was awesome when it opened, and it's awesome now. It's that wonderful land between costume and classic. It's super cool, funky. And people can't figure it out.
And
it's not an antique store per se.
It's
the cool stuff.
Part of it is.
It's never been done like that. Like, it's the antique side, they rent space from me. So it's not like that's my stuff. But that brings in all demographics. I didn't want to be like the cool, super hip store. I go after everyone. So if you're 5 years old, you're going to know a song you like because I lay out the playlist. And if you're 85, you're going to know a song you like after five songs. It's really an experience, and it is for everyone. I didn't want to be like the cool vintage, cool kid store.
But there's weird stuff. And I have to look at it and say, why did she buy this? I can't figure it out.
Do you know, what are
some of the really offbeat things?
Okay, John, here's what's going to blow your mind. Do you know the kids come in and ask me for 90s vintage?
90s is high.
Hold on a minute. Because we had the guy from Hype T in the other day, and they do the vintage sneakers and clothing and stuff. And I mean, it's a huge thing right now.
90s vintage, though, that I'm like, I graduated 93, so.
It's been back in style twice.
Yeah.
But okay, so like I was telling you off air here earlier, me and my lady friend went there last weekend, and I spent, as a normal guy in a shopping area, about 3 hours waiting, which is okay, because I got a chance to actually walk around, and this is before I even knew you were coming on the show. I got a chance to walk around Junkie and really got, like, all the way from the bathroom in the back antiques area all the way to the mannequin with the flamingo a suit on that
it's
I thought about buying.
17,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And there's a lot to take in. Let's just say you're not even interested in buying something. You're probably going to walk in there and find something you want, but you didn't know you wanted. You know, and it's everything from the, so you got the vintage clothing, you walk in on the left-hand sides, you got your vintage clothing, and it's a plethora of stuff. John, there's another word I say, plethora.
You're smart.
Bro, I'm telling you. they've got everything from wigs to, it's partially almost like a costume store, I'd say, like a Burning Man. Like, if you were going to Burning Man.
Yeah, this is my Christmas for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the place to stop, right before you go into Burning Man. They probably got everything you want.
Yep.
And then on when you go in, on the right-hand side is the antique side. Mm-hmm. And they've got really cool different booths. Now, is it different vendors?
A lot of home decor, too, like furniture. Yeah, a lot of different vendors. My grandma, 89, she still works there. She's there right now.
Is she okay approving of the Junkie name now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she gets it. She really was against it. And I get it. And it was the worst part of town. There was no Midtown.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Hypodermic Needles. It's almost like downtown switched.
Across from City Gas.
Yes. I can't cuss, but we call it.
But you were instrumental in creating Midtown.
I was a president for the first 5 years, and it was like herding cats, of course.
Now,
and
folks, then, before this, it was all just used car lots and pawn shops,
and sex
toys.
Yeah.
Oh, don't make me say sex toys.
Okay, you've already been canceled once because of that. Hey, hold on a minute. Let's talk about that a little bit. Not you, John, but let's just talk about cancel culture in general. Yeah. Boy, sometimes it hits us.
Yeah.
It's
I got hit hard.
Yeah,
a couple times.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Well, you know, that's what you get for being your own person and speaking your mind. How dare you?
How dare I?
But Jessica, I mean, like, talk to us a little bit, you know, like, what are some of the things that have affected you?
Well, can I just set the basic setup? Okay, the Reno riots downtown, the Black Lives Matter, there was a riot, there were smashing windows and everything, and I think you posted a picture of two African-American girls smashing the windows of our city building there right by the river. I forget what you said.
I said you outgrew those overalls in the fifth grade, honey.
Right.
Because they're really small. Don't break into
the
city.
And there was a firestorm on Reddit
And I was a fat shamer, and then I didn't know.
Oh,
I did not,
wow.
I
didn't, you didn't say anything about, oh, well.
I didn't say anything about, I didn't say the word fat. I didn't say anything about color. It was really bad timing. I think people would have laughed before, but I just was on a board to get Christmas lights downtown. And I was working with Naoma Jardin to, you know, fix up downtown. So I took it really personal.
Yeah.
And I had to, that night, no one knows my side of the story. I was so tired. I had to protect my own building because I live upstairs a junkie. So they all down, hoodlums. They came down from downtown. One tried to throw a skateboard in my window. So I stayed up all night. When I saw that post, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're trying to clean up downtown. And
I would have been up there with an AK on the roof.
And maybe it was insensitive, but definitely bad timing. But I had to apologize to criminals because they were criminals. They were from Stockton and they had a rap sheet and they were breaking in. They weren't, I don't think two wrongs make a right.
Hold on. When I got to ask this, you said the words you had to. Who made you apologize?
It went so viral. My staff was like, we're going to walk out. They went after my kids. They emailed my, messaged my kids and said, you know, your mom's a fat shamer and a racist, which my daughter's Native American, which is hilarious because we lived on the Indian reservation.
My kids are half Mexican. I got same thing.
So, you know, here's my take on it. Even the cancel culture people are sick of the cancel culture. It's gone way too
far. Well, they're going to cancel each other out is what they're doing. They're over canceling now.
Yeah.
And well, they'll never stop. They're after Shay's Tavern now.
Yeah. They're just trolls. And, you know, the thing is, it helped me.
Right.
It really did. I had people come in and say, I saw what you went through online. I've never been here. It helped me. And then I've been canceled because there was Aunt Jemima cookie jar on the antique side. I can't keep up with all the merchandise. So then that went viral again. And then when Kid Rock came in, nice,
yeah, when
you
tried to kill the community with a super spreader event.
The mask just got put back on. He wasn't wearing a mask. And then I had so many comments. Of course, Jessica's not making Kid Rock wear a mask.
How dare you?
I cannot win. And I'm not even going to try. It really hurt. It did. It was dark when I went through it. But now I'm like, keep doing it.
But you know what? I mean, look at you now. So like one of your big things you sell a lot of is Western vintage now, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And so you're getting a lot of folks, like let's say you're going down to something like Night in the Country or one of these events.
Oh, yeah. That's a big weekend for
us. You can probably go and pick up really cool vintage, like, you know, the Western wear shirts and cowboy hats and all that kind of stuff. And you're actually doing some advertising with us at Evans Broadcast now on one of our sister stations, 102.5, which is Cowboy Country.
I love me some Clint Black.
Yes. Well, see,
me too.
And I have a thing with country music now. Like, unless there's a steel guitar, it don't even count me in, you know, kind of thing. And if the guy's wearing rhinestone jeans or something, like, I'm sorry, you just look like a Spanish Springs dad. So
like, and pointy shoes.
Right. You know, so at that point, I just think it's good because you've basically opened yourself up to a whole new audience now. Mm-hmm. And those people are sympathetic. I had a situation happen myself, even, you know, where I was on a YouTube channel. We had 330,000 subscribers. And just to kind of reiterate how people are canceling each other out, you know, I had liked to comment on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I was canceled because of it. I was called transphobic and all sorts of kind of stuff like that. And then
I was called into the boss's office just for saying the term cancel culture.
Well, it's because you're
and he at Channel 2. He says, "What is this cancel culture? That's a Republican term." I say, no, it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. They do it to everyone. It's
John, you're an old white guy. No matter by proxy, everything you're going to do is racist anyways.
But Jessica, let me tell you, I've known Jessica a long time. She loves everybody.
Yes, she
and
does.
Every city should have a Junkies. There's so much to browse. It's a great visit. And what's with the crafting section?
That's my grandma's junk that she needs to get rid of. But I do want to talk about the haunted house. We're doing a haunted house. It's called Junkie's Dark Corner. And for the first time ever, the National Bowling Stadium, you will get to see what it looks like inside. It's going to be at the
National.
You're
going to do it there.
Yep, it's called Junkie's Dark Corner. Tickets are on sale. Yes,
wow.
We're doing it at the National Bowling Stadium.
So, okay.
I've always wanted to do this, and so I don't know where the economy's going. Is it really smart of me to buy wood at its top peak price? I'm not sure, but I will have the wood for next year. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and I have a powerhouse team that did a haunted house that I went to in a neighborhood. And it was outstanding. And I said, hey, you guys want to like team up? And so.
Is this the one in Donner Springs by chance?
Yes.
Yes, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Outstanding. And I have the junk. I love to decorate. They're hard workers. They're building walls. They went to haunted, I call it clown school. They went to haunted house school, knows all the fire code. So we're doing it in the
I believe that one is on Snowshoe Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, it is awesome there. Talk about a great inspiration. I mean, I just got to ask this. I mean, do you worry at all about having competition right there with the Aces Stadium?
They're not doing it this year.
Oh, Slaughterhouse isn't happening?
Nope. It was for sale. I actually looked at his product, and I didn't know really what he was selling. But,
the Eli guy, right?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, no, I don't really have competition. I have Adeline Farms, which they do a great job. I do team building with them. They're doing like the zombie shoot thing in the corn maze.
Oh, okay.
They do a really good job. They're a great family.
Well, this is awesome. I mean, we need something like that down there during the, you know, during the fall.
And we're going to make fun of the last two dumbing down society years. So there's going to be a part where you go in a hallway, dark, can't see anything, and people will be sneezing and coughing.
Wow.
And then we're going to have somebody with a spray bottle above you. So
did you see? Hold on a minute. Hold on. Did you? Well, maybe you're not, because I don't know if we're friends on Facebook or not. But if you go on Facebook, you look at my costume 2 years ago.
The guys with man buns are going to hate that.
Well, no, I went to some buddies of mine who do have a printing screen shop, and they printed me out two giant Corona signs, like the makeup of Corona or whatever. And I put that on myself. So I was walking around and I was the Corona virus
Jay.
Well, no, they said, they said that costumes had to be scary at Halloween.
That's why I was doing costuming. I'm like, what has everyone been scared of for the last 2 years? Even me, already had it. I'm not scared of it, but if somebody sneezed on me in a haunted house, even me in a spray bottle, I'd be like, yikes. So that's like a really funny part.
That is awesome.
In our timeline.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Knock on wood, I haven't had it yet, but I'm also transvaxxed. So that being said, Jessica, tell people where they can go online and see some of your selection or.
We do sell, you could like us on Instagram, Facebook. We're on, of course, all social platforms. And then Junkies Dark Corner is junkiesdarkcorner.com. Sorry. And then you can buy tickets, pre-sale tickets right now. If you buy them early, $20. It's going to be kind of like a movie theater time slot.
Oh, nice.
And,
okay.
The bowling stadium has an escalator. So it's going to be amazing.
Super huge escalator too. But just speaking of dark spots in this, apparently your grandma just called down to Carson City.
Yeah, you kind of dissed her crafting section.
Yeah, and she wants to argue with you about... getting rid of this crafting section.
Oh, gosh. Grandma, leave me. She's so hard. My grandma is so hard on me.
Is she actually on the line, Craig, or did she just call to say that?
Why is she supposed to be working? Why is she listening?
She didn't call. Oh, okay.
She's at Saturday.
You really should
work.
Have more control over your staff.
She's 89. She's supposed to be at work.
Jessica, well, you know, she has never had control on her staff. No, anyways, that being said, it's Jessica Snyder. It's Junkie Clothing Exchange. You can hear her right here, of course, with us and 102.5 FM on Cowboy Country. And go and check her out. What's your address one more time, Jessica?
960 South Virginia in the middle heart of Midtown.
So you advertise on Cowboy Country just because you like Clint Black.
And Randy Travis.
And that's it.
I love it.
I'm George Jones. I'm older.
I like
great
Johnny.
Station.
I love all that too.
Yeah,
I love it.
I thought you were a little bit Conway Twitty.
And Waylon, good old Waylon.
What's wrong with Conway Twitty?
No, I was calling you Twitty, not Conway.
I don't like that look.
No, I love. Hey, we could sit here and talk.
Are you
going
to be like King of the Hill, or what show is it? Family Guy is always making fun of Conway Twitty, and it's very offensive.
I love Conway Twitty. Hello, darling. Nice to see you.
All right.
That's what I said to Jessica.
Then I'll come back next Saturday.
All right, folks, stick around next. We've got more time to talk to you here on 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley's 92.3 Live and Local with John and Jay.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
Jessica Snyder and I were just talking about the things they write on Reddit. The young people.
Oh, yeah. We all have threads about
what?
Us. Each of us.
About, there will be something about me and everybody. I don't know these people. They have to be so snarky. And I guess the ultimate when you're young is to have the little sly quip that is so negative. What are they teaching these kids? Parents and schools both. Anyway, last word, the bike lanes downtown, they're right in front of your place, aren't they?
Yes, I was a big advocate to fight for parking in Midtown. I'm not against bike lanes. I'm not against bicyclists. I just know that I can't sit there as a business and wait for Reno to catch up and be some bike town like Austin. They would always do these examples. Our parking was limited. Anyways, those three spots in front of Soup that rotate customers, it would affect them. So I fought for parking in Midtown. I mean, fought for 2 years, went to meetings. I want the common sense party. Like, that's what I want. I want to make a new party, just common sense.
I like
sense.
That one.
Because common sense and like golden rule.
Like Brewster's yes. Millions. None of the above.
No one's coming to Junkie and to buy a dresser on their bike. And let's get real. This is not a bike town. I'm not against bicycles, but we have to have common sense, and we want small businesses to thrive. Mm-hmm. So all these bike lanes, I don't even see people on them. So that was a really, really hard. They showed up in droves. They hated me back then. But mm-hmm. I was fighting for parking. And guess what, John? I was the one with the parking lot.
Yep.
Because I wanted Recycled Records with the three spots in front of him. They could run in and get a record and walk out. Like, I wanted him to make it. And then it was going to be 98 spots if they made all of Midtown bike lanes. It would take 98 parking spots from Plum to California.
I just thought something. Mayor Schneider.
I like that.
Oh, gosh, no.
It'd be better than Sheevy.
No, I'm friends with Hillary.
Come on. Well,
I'm
very nice person.
I didn't say that I didn't like her. I said you'd be a better. That's all I said.
Well, politics, there's no way in this climate I'd ever get in politics.
No.
No.
And you'd be canceled out even more.
Oh, no way.
Well, but listen, Jessica, it's been fun talking with you. Thank you for that final word on those bike lanes. And, of course, go ahead and check out Junkie Clothing Exchange in Midtown. John, we got a packed show next week. We've got Nevada Day Parade. They're going to be with us. Also, looks like we've got Lahontan. What's next? We're going to talk to folks about Lahontan State Park, and much, much more. It's Live and Local with John and Jay on Smith and Mason Valley's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Make sure you go and check out the podcast at 991FMTalk.com. John?
And we'll see you next Saturday morning, 9 to noon, right here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye.